Hey, everybody, here we are. We've been gone for a couple of weeks, man, but here we are, episode 239 of Is This Thing Working? And my lovely co-host sitting over across from me, Denise, how are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing awesome.
Good.
I am so glad to be back on the mic.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely was excited when James was like, hey, we're going to do a show. Let's pull one together. I'm like, yay. I was like, it is about time.
Yeah.
You know, and like the title of our show, the
Flood the Zone,
the noise has been so impactful right now. I mean, it is just coming at you one, two, three, one right after another.
Every day has been really fast, and a lot of things have been going on, man.
Yeah,
but I think so cool. A lot.
What I think so cool is that's President Trump's plan.
And that's what I was going to say. There has been more action out of this government in 5 days than we see now that Biden administration in 4 years, man.
Oh, they did plenty. They did plenty to destroy America.
Yeah.
And make it just harder on every American, you know, because they don't want America to be first. They are America last. Always remember that. They're America last.
They are. And I was going to bring up the fact that the first part of our title is Flood the Zone, but the last part of our title is Promises Made and Promises Kept. And just as he told us, just as he campaigned on, President Trump set right there and signed 46 executive orders that day.
I know, and we're going to talk about that.
Let's talk about a few of them, man, because especially the ones on day one. Promises made, promises kept, huh?
Yes.
But first, we want to state, these are our opinions, they're our assertions, and if you like our opinions and our assertions, please, man, stomp on that like button, jump up and down on it, bang that sucker with a hammer, do whatever you got to do. Like our show, share our show, and please follow us. Please follow us, either me, Denise, or we do have an X page called Is This Thing Working? We're on Facebook, we're on Getter, we're on Truth. We're on all social media platforms. So let's get into the Texas Brief. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Texas Brief. We're so excited to be back.
Can you tell it's been a little bit?
Can you tell it's been a little bit? Man, I feel like doing the show over again, but I'm not going to because this is what we do. Yeah. I mean, this is us. You know, we're a little rusty, you know.
And we're still rookies. We've only been in this about a year, so we really still don't know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, and we just have a good time. So we're going to relax. We kind of started out a little stiff and all that kind of stuff. So look, we're going to relax. And we're going to have a good time.
What are you talking about? I started the show. Cold-blooded, man.
Well, I didn't mean that you were still. Heck, I sat over here and didn't have a thing to say. So you carried me there for a minute in the promo.
Yeah.
You know, so. But we do the Texas Brief first. And here we go. Because Governor Abbott, he's been on top of it. And I have to say, I'm proud of him. And what's so crazy about it is, you know, the U.S. Congress, they've got this DOGE now, and they're trying to cut money and everything. But Governor Abbott says, "Screw that."
Yeah, yeah. You're going to cut some money, but you're going to cut me a check.
That's right.
That's what he said. He said Texas launched, and this is on Twitter, and this was from January 23rd, so 2 days ago. He said, Texas launched Operation Lone Star to combat the threat of an open border posed to all Americans. He said, today I called on Congress to reimburse Texas for the more than $11.1 billion in taxpayer money spent to secure the border. And if any of you have been paying attention for the last 2.5-3 years, Abbott and Joe Biden have fought back and forth, along with Attorney General Ken Paxton. They have fought back and forth about this border, and
And Texas they've won so much. Yep. I mean, they fought, though. They had to fight. And this cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
All the razor wire that they're down there putting in, all the buoys they had to do. Then they had to go to court because it kept getting stopped. And it was a constant. And then they had to foot the bill for the illegals and the buses.
Yes.
Remember the buses we talked about?
Yeah.
And had a debate about for several months.
Right.
You know? That costs money. That's our money.
Yeah, big time. And it come to the tune of $11.1 billion. And Abbott says, hey, you need to pay me, man.
Yep, you need
to
pay me.
And I love it, man.
I do, too. I do, too. And there's so much that happened while he was trying to secure the border. People just, I mean, they just flooded into our country in masses. Everyone knows this. That's one of the main reasons that President Trump was elected.
Yep.
Because people knew. They knew what was happening. They saw it. It came to their doorstep.
That's exactly right.
You know.
And I think the bigger message in all of this is that President Trump is going to close the border, just like he said. Tom Homan and ICE is going after the illegal immigrants. That is true, but that's not going to be the only people they go after, man.
No.
That is not going to be the only ones. Texas Scorecard, and we've seen this today. Matter of fact, Texas Scorecard brought this out that State Senator Bob Hall, he recommends that any ban on agreements between Texas and Chinese cities needs to be enforced because the report showed that there is CCP infiltration influence on our public servants in some of our major cities in the state of Texas.
Yeah, and he goes on to say the CCP has shifted from a strategy of peaceful coexistence to one of attempting to become the leading global power.
Yeah, and this was in the interim report. Michael Lucci of State Armor, an Austin-based security firm, he warned a special Texas House committee of the danger posed by the CCP. He also goes on to say that according to Mr. Lucci, the CCP is prepositioning assets in the U.S. to disrupt every normal function of civilian life if a conflict arose. Mr. Lucci emphasized, the Chinese strategy of disruption is an everything, everywhere, at all once strategy.
That's it. That's how they're going to take us over.
He's saying that as part of their strategy, they're going to target state and local governments. Mr. Lucci discussed the Chinese government's strategy for influencing local and state governments in order to make them dependent on their companies as essentially client states.
Yeah, and what's so crazy is we knew this was happening throughout the whole Biden administration.
Yes.
We have been trying to, you know, hey, blow the whistle. Hey, listen to what's going on in Texas.
Yep.
You know, they're buying up land everywhere. We've seen it. We saw it. And no one did anything about it. They allowed it to happen.
Yep.
You know, and this is our Texas State House and Senate.
Yes.
Allowed it to happen. They could have passed so many bills. But instead, all they want to do anymore is fight over Democrats instead of being Republicans and doing their job.
Well, they want to cater to the special interest groups, and they want to cater to that, man. You know, like we've talked about over and over again, and I've said it over and over again, man, the Texas legislature looks just like Washington, D.C. legislature.
And right now it's worse.
Yeah.
You know, it has gone on and on and on. And Brian Harrison, who is a Republican House member.
Yeah.
You know, he comes out and he says, we have a video here that we want to play where Matt Rinaldi says on X, he says, you almost have to admire the audacity of this bait and switch by the Texas House GOP leadership. The rule package keeps Democrats in power, but relabels several committees as subcommittees and gives Democrat vice chairs the same power as chairs on every committee. Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
Listen to Brian Harrison.
Hey, good morning, Texans. Brian Harrison here. I got to be honest, I had to ask myself this morning whether we are in Austin or Washington, D.C., because the Texas House dropped leadership dropped a 232-page bill on our desks at 4 o'clock this morning. And we may be expected to vote on it here in just a few hours. And let me tell you what this is. My staff and I are diligently going through it, but I am incredibly concerned about it. And what this appears to be is for the 40 or 50 Democrats that elected our speaker, this appears to be what they're getting in exchange. While it does get rid of the 8 or 9 Democrats who were chairmanships, it does appear to, on net, give much more power to the Democrats in the Republican-controlled Texas House of Representatives. So unlike last session, where 8 or 9 Democrats could hold hearings on any liberal topic they want or bring in any left-wing activists they wanted to clog up our schedule and keep us from doing the people's business, it appears 30 to as many as 40 Democrats may have that same power this session. So Democrats, if this is passed, may have more power in 2025 than Democrats had in 2023. And that's after a historic and stunning rebuke at the ballot box last session from voters who had had enough of being betrayed by the Republican so-called elected officials here in Austin. I am renaming the House Rules Package. This is now the Democrat Empowerment Act of 2025, and I will be voting no on it because I respect the will, the desire of the Republican voters who sent me to Austin to fight for bold conservative initiatives and pro-liberty policies, and I am not going to be silent and complicit in the empowerment of the leftist Democrats who have controlled this chamber for far too long. I'm Brian Harrison. I'll keep you posted.
And even like he's talking about just this right here, the Democrat Empowerment Act of 2025. But also, we understand what went on in the Texas House with the Speaker of the House and Dustin Burroughs and David Cook. We understand what went on with there.
Yes. And so the Democrats have found ways to get their little self in all of these committees. And they just changed the rules anytime they please, you know, and I just don't understand what the deal is and what is so bad about Republican priorities.
Conservative leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand what that's about. You know, now I hear all the time, this is what I hear. I hear, oh, it's we got to work together. We got to be bipartisan. You know, we have to work with the Democrats. Yeah. No, you don't.
That's exactly
right. I'm telling you, folks, you don't work with Democrats.
That's
because
right.
Guess what? Democrats didn't win. Democrats
That's exactly
have done
right.
nothing but ruin our country, and they're in the process of ruining Texas.
They're trying.
Let me tell you something. This is what I think is really cool. Everyone knows that listens to us. Thank you for that. That we listen to Steve Bannon and on the War Room. And he is starting a trip around Texas to where he's going to be in Denton. I believe it's this weekend. And he will be in Fort Worth, I think in February. I think they are so tired of what's going on in Texas.
Yes.
And the fact that the Democrats just continue to take it over and do whatever in the heck they please
and
with
nobody
it.
Does, and nobody does jack anything. Shit about it. That's exactly right. We worked hard during the primaries to get the people in there that we wanted in there. And some of them got hoodwinked.
Yes.
We got hoodwinked by a few of them.
We did. And, you know,
and
the
those
Democrats,
are the ones.
The Democrats came out on the primaries, you know, and voted for them during the primary.
Yes.
So they didn't have anybody running against them. And so that's how they got through.
Right.
You know, is the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, so of course, because the Democrats helped them, they have to help them, the Democrats. And that's the thing that they play. That's the game that they continue to play over and over again. Well, Steve Bannon and crew are going to make their way around Texas because we have to do something.
Yeah.
I tried to get tickets for Denton, and they were all sold out. I really wanted to go.
Yeah.
You know, but, and he even said, they're sold out, so we're going to be back. We're going to be all over Texas, so just be looking for us.
Come on, Steve. Come to Angelina County, man.
Please, because we need to defund Harris County.
Yeah.
From the Texas scorecard, Harris County taxpayers pay millions to defend illegal aliens from deportation.
And this is crazy, man. that they've done this while spending our taxpayer dollars to defend these people, even if they have a criminal record. So it's not just, hey, they overstayed their visa or their green card expired or whatever, and they're here illegally. No, these people actually have criminal records, and Harris County is sitting here raising taxes on the citizens to defend these people.
Yes.
Remember, we were watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and we kept seeing the Spanish-speaking commercial from Dallas.
Yes.
And that was a law firm there, too, an immigration law firm that was there to help.
So I bet you this is going on in all our big cities, Austin and Dallas, Fort Worth.
San Antonio.
Yes, every one of them. So people, we have a fight still. And I want to remind everybody, before we move on to President Trump, is please be informed and become engaged. And we are force multipliers. We use our voice. We use our presence. Yep. You know, we make phone calls. You know, we get on social media. We spread the word. And that's what we want you to do. Spread the word about Texas. Texas is, if Texas goes, folks, we're gone.
Yeah.
We've been operating. Texas is so important.
Yeah, and basically we've been operating without California for a while, so they're about to go as it is.
Yeah. California is.
But we don't need Texas to go.
No. No, because everyone's coming to Texas, and really, we really need the help. I sat and watched the election seasons over the past 4, 6, 7, 8 years, however many we've been doing this. And they really haven't put a lot of money in Texas like they should. They've done certain races, you know, and Ken Paxton, our attorney general, has gone out, and then Governor Abbott has gone out. Now, what really kind of set me kind of in between the both of them during that time was they didn't endorse the same people.
Exactly.
You know, they endorsed two different people. So when this came out about, you know, who voted for, you know, the speaker, Abbott didn't even say a word.
Nope.
Not a word. But then he wants to come out and tell us, oh, well, you know, the Senate has a bill that they have brought up. It's a $1 billion voucher, you know, that ain't going to pass.
Right.
It ain't going to pass.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, it's not
going to
pass.
So it's like you're fighting against forces that are supposed to be there for you to be fighting with you. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know, it's a constant battle.
I agree.
You know, President Trump won Texas hugely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not like a little bit. So I don't think that any Democrats anywhere need to be on any or head of any committee.
Exactly.
Whatsoever.
Yep. And that's the betrayal that Brian Harrison was talking about. That's the betrayal that we're talking about, man, is the fact that, hey, we all went in there to vote these people in based on what they said they would do. And then when they get there, they hoodwink us, man.
They do.
And we're getting sick of this, man. Sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it, man.
And you know what we have? We have power.
We
do. Just like President Trump is showing us right now.
Yep.
Exactly the kind of power that every state has, and also the power that he has.
Yes.
And on day one,
yep,
was he absolutely the best ever? I mean, he made history on day one.
Promises made, promises kept.
Exactly.
Yep.
And he signed how many executive?
46.
46.
Flooded the zone.
And he's still flooding the zone.
Yeah.
He's still signing EOs. But we're going to talk about a couple of them. I got this from this list from The Guardian. Now, you know, The Guardian's kind of left-leaning, so we like to use left-leaning just to, you know, say, hey, this is what's going on. So the headline goes, what executive orders did Trump sign on day one?
We're going to talk about those that we feel are most relevant or important.
Now,
ending birthright citizenship. That was one of them. And I do agree with The Guardian. It's interesting that they brought this up in, as the very first one, because this is a huge issue. And this is the biggest reason that we voted for President Trump, because he said we were going to close the border and we're going to deport. We're going to mass deport all these people and get them out of here.
Well, you know, they use this 14th Amendment.
Yes, they do.
Just to bring them over here, pregnant women over here. And we've seen it happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody's seen it happen. And so now what this is going to do is going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Ending birthright citizenship. Ending birthright citizenship. The order that he signed, along with a slew of immigration-focused orders, Trump is targeting automatic citizenship for U.S.-born children of immigrants in the country illegally to begin 30 days from today.
There's already a lawsuit out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they paused it temporarily for 2 weeks.
And what President Trump said was the order specifies that it would limit birthright citizenship if a person's mother was unlawfully present in the United States and the father was not a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident at the time of said person's birth, or when that person's mother's presence in the United States at that time said person's birth was lawful but temporary.
Well, that's 100%.
That's
on board with what we all.
There you go.
I mean, that says if you're here illegally, then
You're here illegally,
and so is your child.
And so is your child.
And you have to go.
And you got to go. That's right. That's exactly what it means. What it means, birthright citizenship, which guarantees citizenship to anyone born on U.S. soil, is protected by the 14th Amendment, and any attempt to revoke it will likely bring immediate legal challenges, which it did. This is what the Guardian say. The order attempts to deny documents recognizing U.S. citizenship for individuals who meet this criteria and are born in the U.S. 30 days after this order was signed. Because it's a huge loophole, and all they've done is took advantage of it. And we've got tons of them here, man.
That's what the leftists do. They take advantage of everything. They try to tear our Constitution apart.
Yep.
Literally, piece by piece.
Yep.
You know, and they read it one way, and we read it another. And they read it to where it's, you know, skewed.
Yeah. Here's another one. Leaving the WHO, the World Health Organization. We are gone.
I am so glad.
We are gone. He said that the World Health Organization, the WHO, ripped us off. Everybody rips off the United States. It's not going to happen anymore. Trump said at the signing, he accused the WHO of mishandling the COVID-19 pandemic and other international health crises.
This one I think is really cool.
Yep.
Renaming the Gulf of Mexico. He ordered the two name changes, actually. The Gulf of Mexico and Alaska's Mount Denali.
Yep.
He said, President Trump is bringing common sense to government and renewing the pillars of American civilization. Trump ordered the Gulf of Mexico to be renamed the Gulf of America, something he promised earlier this month at a press conference. Promises made, promises kept. Yep. He will rechristen Alaska's Mount Denali as Mount McKinley, a change first made by Barack Obama in 2015 to reflect the traditions of Alaska natives as well as the preference of many Alaska residents. It will have no bearing on what names are used internationally.
He revoked electrical vehicle targets. He revoked a non-binding executive order signed by Joe Biden aimed at making half of all new vehicles sold in the United States by 2030 to be electric. He said, we will not sabotage our own industries while China pollutes with impunity.
Awesome.
There you go. Everybody has.
Yes.
Electric vehicles are not practical. I don't care who you are. They're not practical unless you live 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Like he's always saying, if you like them and you want them, he has no problem with electric vehicles.
Yeah.
But we can't stop making
we're not gonna destroy
the other vehicles, destroy people's companies just because you want it all to go to electric.
Yep.
For one thing, there was not one piece of infrastructure put out there.
Exactly. I mean,
for the
a lot of money spent,
a lot of money
but nothing
spent.
To show for it.
Nothing at all.
And that kind of goes to the fact that we left the Paris Agreement too.
Yes.
Yep. Which was a big climate change monster.
Yes, and then he did a EO on bringing all the workers back to work.
Yep.
From home.
Yes, he did.
And he reclassified federal employees, making them easier to fire. That's that he reinstates his Schedule F, yep. is what it is.
Declared a national energy emergency.
Creating a policy recognizing only two genders.
There you go.
Pausing the TikTok ban. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care one way or another if TikTok is here or not. You know, yeah. but TikTok is used for things that are not appropriate.
Right.
You know, and so they can say all day long, hey, you know, we don't censor and we don't, what? You know, do this and that. But then we find out that the illegals are going on TikTok and trying to run from ICE and they're all
right.
They're all going on TikTok right. and doing all that. But I don't think it's just TikTok. I think it's Facebook and everywhere else.
What it and here's what I say that it is. First off, in the spirit of capitalism, let the market decide what TikTok does or doesn't do. Don't let make the government. You know, the government has no right to go in there and shut a company down just because they don't agree with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let the consumer decide. That's what capitalism's all about. And this ban that they were talking about on TikTok or banning TikTok because China was
spying.
storing their data and selling their data and doing.
They have land in America. We just told you that.
Well, hell, everybody collects your data. So, you know, that was a weak argument to start with anyway.
Yes, totally.
You know, in the interest of national security, who cares?
I have an iPhone sitting right beside me.
Your car has GPS trackers on it, man. Your phones have it. You know, it's everywhere, man. So that was all bullshit.
Yes.
He rescinded 78 Biden-era executive orders. He said, I'll revoke nearly 80 destructive and radical executive actions of this previous administration. That he said that at his his inaugural speech. And he said he would end policy trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life and push for a colorblind and merit-based society, which is what we grew up on. Exactly is Which what is, we grew up on.
You know, and the thing about it is, it got to be where everyone lived peacefully together.
And they couldn't stand it.
Yep. They could not stand it, you know. And the thing is, all they did was push us closer together.
Yep. Yes, it did. And also, I guess the last one here,
Oh, no, this ain't the last one.
Well,
it's second to the last.
Okay, second to the last. Declared a national border emergency. There again. What he campaigned on, what we've been screaming about for 4 years.
Close the border.
That's it. Close our border. Man.
I think we had so many titles called Close the Border.
But we gave a lot of information, man.
Yes, we did.
We covered a lot. We taught you about the NGOs and how they facilitate all of this.
He's already starting to shut them down.
Yep. We talked HIAS again. We talked about them. We talked about all the stuff that Laura Loomer reported at the Darien Gap, all the different ways Catholic Charities, Annunciation House, all of these different NGOs, were facilitating in bringing everybody over here across the border illegally.
Well, I want to let you in on something because I listened to Todd Bensman. I don't know, it was a couple of days ago. And he said that these NGOs that you just listed have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they are continuing the bringing in of mass illegal immigrants without anyone knowing it.
Cut their funding.
That's it. I mean, he cut funding for, I think it was... Anyway, I can't remember. He cut funding for some NGOs, but these that we're talking about, haven't seen anything about them yet.
Right.
You know, and they need to, I think that the Biden administration already gave them the money. They have the millions of dollars. Remember the $300 million?
Was it $300 million or was it $3.5 billion?
Well, it might have been.
It was back in April when they passed that.
It might have been $300
million.
When they passed
that bill then.
Yes, but I can remember we were like aghast at all of that, you know. But the most important one that happened, was issuing the pardons for January 6th defendants.
There we go.
On day one.
There we go.
And it has been amazing watching these people get out. And of course, the judges have caused issues.
The order. Trump issued pardons for all offenders and commutations related to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. He will direct the DOJ to dismiss cases currently in progress. Everybody is being released. God bless those people.
I think there's still 12 left, and that's because they had another charge from the state that they're in, I believe.
Right.
And they're still working to get them out because it was regarding January 6th.
Yes.
And so it should all go. Everyone should get out. Be done with this.
Yep.
People are out, and they're whistleblowing, and they're telling everything that the Biden administration did, said. I mean, the people, even the people that signed deals, you know, with the government,
yeah,
they got pardoned as well. And yep, so they're the ones that are coming out and really telling everything because they were told not to tell.
Yeah.
They had to, like, you know, you can't speak of this. You can't speak your thoughts about anything. And you can't speak about the 2020 election because that was very free and fair.
Yeah. And I had to laugh at this Guardian article, too, because we've been going through all of these executive orders, you know, the order, what President Trump said and what it means. And in this one, what it means, this is the Guardian's interpretation, that Trump made his pledge to issue pardons for those with convictions related to the J6 attack as a core part of his reelection campaign. Yes, he did. On the campaign trail, Trump often featured the national anthem sung by prisoners in the D.C. jail. There are more than 1,500 people federally charged with associated charges. Okay, I have no problem with what they said right there. Here they go. With Trump back in the White House, Justice Department investigations into January 6th crimes are expected to cease. Yeah, for those 1,500, but not the ones that instigated this.
That's exactly
not the
right
people in D.C. and on Capitol Hill that helped instigate
about
this.
It.
These people are fixing to come to justice, man.
They are, and I am so excited about Trump's administration and what he has accomplished in just 5 days. You know, it hasn't even been a week yet. By the way, we will be back Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, starting this week. So y'all be looking for our shows, and maybe we won't be so rusty next time when we get here on Monday.
Right. Right. Well, guess who else has been rusty? The city of Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh.
Good God. And so President Trump, in President Trump fashion, went down there to have a meeting with them and have a press conference with them. And in President Trump fashion, man, I forgot how much I loved his press conferences, man, with him taking control of it. And he did.
He absolutely did.
Yes, he did.
You know, he started out in North Carolina and then went to L.A. And the crazy thing is they're polar opposite states and polar opposite what's going on in their states, of course. You know, with North Carolina, he was so gentle and, you know, listened to the people and compassionate.
And started getting people into fully furnished places to live.
Yes,
you know,
right
people
away.
People have been sleeping in tents and freezing up there, man.
And then they would be in hotels for a night, and then the FEMA would kick them out.
Yep.
Oh, and that's another thing. I think he's getting rid of FEMA. That would be pretty cool.
But
back to L.A.
Back to L.A. So this was yesterday, and he was brutal, man. And he just smoked Karen Bass in all of this, Mayor Karen Bass.
Yeah, listen to this tense exchange.
Yeah, check this out.
6 months is no good.
And the number one thing that we are going to do immediately, and you will see this happen, is to clear out the debris. And you know we're concerned right now over the weekend because of the potential rain, but we are going to move as fast as we can, but we want you to be safe. We want you to be back in your homes immediately.
But the people are willing to clean out their own debris. It doesn't cost a lot.
Yes, and they can.
You should let them do it because by the time you hire contractors, it's going to be 2 years.
If a family...
The people are willing to get a dumpster and do it themselves and clean it out.
And they can.
There's not that much left. It's all incinerated.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just going to take a long time if you do. You can do some of it, but a lot of these people, I know that guy right there that's talking. I know my people. You'll be on that thing tonight, throwing the stuff away, and your site will be, it'll look perfect within 24 hours. And that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to wait around for 7 months till the city hires some demolition contract. That's going to charge him $25,000 to do his lot.
That's right.
I think you have to, you have emergency powers just like I do, and I'm exercising my emergency powers. You have to exercise them also.
I did exercise them.
Because I looked, I mean, you have a very powerful emergency power, and yes, you can do everything within 24 hours.
Yes. And if individuals
and
want to clear out their property, they can.
But that's not what you said at the start.
Well, yes, but you know that you will be able to go back soon.
Mr. President.
We think within a week.
That's a long time, a week. I'll be honest. To me, everyone's standing in front of their house. They want to go to work, and they're not allowed to do it.
And the most important thing
is for
people to be safe.
Listen.
They're safe. They're safe. You know what? They're not safe. They're not safe now. They're going to be much safer. A week is actually a long time, the way I look at it. I watched hundreds of people standing in front of their lots, and they're not allowed to go in. It's all burned. It's gone. It's done. Nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to burn anymore. There's nothing to burn. There's almost nothing to burn. And they want to go in. The people are all over the place. They're standing. And I say, Warren, you're going in. We're trying to get a permit. And the permit's going to take them. Everybody said 18 months. You said 18 months. You said 18 months.
Last night.
And that was last night.
On that. Right.
Mr. President, we're going to be together next week. And
okay. Yeah, brutal. He told her, man, no, 1 week ain't good enough. And the thing was, she just said that and sat there and smiled real smug and goes, well, you'll be able to get there within a week?
Yeah.
Like I'm just pulling this out of my ass. There was just arbitrarily decided
like
a week.
Like she was lying the whole time.
Well, yeah, like she was going to blow him off and try to pacify him. And then once he left, she was going to tell all them people, hey, go. Yeah.
And then someone else that was sitting there, after she says, we want you to be safe, he takes the mic for our audience out there, podcast audience. He takes the mic.
Yeah.
And then starts talking himself. And here's what he had to say.
From the federal government, even if they have a half million dollars.
You did something,
laws.
Brad, with every insurance company in the country left California.
That's right.
That's why you have no insurance, because you made it so impossible. People that think like you made it so impossible.
And Brad,
know,
me,
every
Mr.
insurance
President,
company.
I don't know what
I'll
you
tell
know
you this,
about my thinking.
I've never seen a state where almost nobody has insurance. And I said, what happened? And they said, like 6 months ago, they all left. And 2 years ago, they had different, quadrants, but they left. And you have very little insurance here. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
We had
amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, so where are they going to get their money to rebuild?
Exactly.
And all they get is $42,000. That doesn't pay for a down payment.
That won't even pay for the damn ground.
No.
To
clean up.
Yeah.
That's all that would do, really, is to clean it all off. And then what? How are they going to rebuild with no insurance? It's absolutely out of control. And Gavin Newsom, as a matter of fact, has been exposed of taking campaign money from energy company consistently responsible for wildfires.
Wow.
It is absolutely out of control, this state is. And President Trump, all he wants to do is make California great again as well.
And what's interesting is that press conference right there. We all know that when President Trump got there to the airport, that Gavin Newsom met him on the tarmac, but Gavin Newsom didn't show up to this press conference right here.
No, he did not. He was like, you ain't going to ask me any hard questions, because he shows up like he's his best friend,
right?
Hugging on him, shaking his hand, pulling him close. You know what I mean? I was like, that's terrible.
Yep.
That's terrible. But you know what though? I will tell you this, folks. President Trump, he don't give a crap no more. After everything he's been through, we could go down the list in 8 years of what this Democrat Party has done to him. and the political weaponization of everything. And he don't give a crap no more.
The Uniparty. Because I was fixing to say.
That's true.
Because I want to tell you something. From the very first day when he got the very first indictment and it was brought up, all the damn GOP sat back and shrunk back and didn't say nothing.
They did the same thing with the January 6th, too.
Did the same thing with them, too. So
yeah, they allowed it to all happen, every bit of this lawfare. So, you know, nobody up there is our friends, you know. But because we can tell you this, you know, John Thune, majority leader John Thune in the Senate, is slow walking the confirmation process.
Yes, he is.
You know, and he can say all day long, it ain't me, it's the Democrats. But that's bull.
Yep.
That is bull. But we do want to congratulate a few that finally made it through.
Yes. Yep.
The first one that did was Marco Rubio, which that one was not a surprise.
Right.
For Secretary of State, because they all like him. I think he got 99 votes, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He got through pretty quick. They all like him. You know, and then there was John Ratcliffe, director of CIA.
Yep.
He got a good many votes as well. And then Pete Hegseth.
Yep, last night Pete Hegseth did, and J.D. Vance had to be the one to break the tie.
That's it.
But it happened.
But it happened.
Yay.
Yes, he got through, because we have some rhino Republicans that just don't know. I mean, they just can't. They can't. I don't know what it is about them, but they can't, you know, let go of their globalist self. You know,
right.
This is an America First agenda,
yep.
Period. You better get on board or go away.
Pete was confirmed last night, but then today he came out with his marching orders for his troops, man. And this is what he said today. He said that he ordered America's troops to put America first and to never back down. In a message to the force hours after his razor-thin confirmation, here's what he says. In a press release published by the Pentagon on Saturday, after his swearing-in ceremony, Pete Hegseth wrote, "The president gave us a clear mission, achieve peace through strength. We will do this in three ways, by restoring the warrior ethos, rebuilding our military, and reestablishing deterrence. We are American warriors. We will defend our country. Our standards will be high, uncompromising, and clear. The strength of our military is our unity and our shared purpose. All of this will be done with a focus on lethality, meritocracy, accountability, standards, and readiness."
Amen.
That man is ready to do his job.
Yes, and he has been, and he is so excited, and I am so excited for him and his family.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, I seen video of him walking in with his boys and stuff, and it was really cool, and his wife.
And I want to tell you something, I mean, and I've told you this too, that, you know, at the beginning when they first started talking about cabinet members, I didn't have Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense on my bingo card.
I know.
But it's going to turn out good, man.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Because this is, I mean, President Trump is putting people in there that he knows can get the job done. And that's also
Kristi Noem,
who got confirmed today for Secretary of Homeland Security. She came out after her confirmation and she said, "Thank you, Mr. President, for the confidence in me to serve as Secretary of Homeland Security. I will work to make America safe again." And so there you go. And right before we came on the mics, she actually got sworn in by my favorite justice.
Clarence Thomas. Yay, buddy.
So that's pretty cool. So we congratulate her. And we look forward to the other nominees. There's several left. There's 1,000, I believe, altogether. And that's what I mean by they are not pushing very hard to get them done. I mean, was it Tulsi Gabbard and Cash Patel who definitely and desperately need to be in the cabinet? They need to be confirmed. They get their hearings finally January 30th.
And the other one in that is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He is guy they've got to confirm him to, man.
I know. We're waiting on his hearing date.
Yep.
And I just read before I came on that, our favorite ex-Vice President Mike Pence is part of the group trying to stop RFK Jr.
Not surprised.
So, you know, we really need to push RFK Jr. You know, Big Pharma is not happy with this. And he works for, Pence works for, you know, Big Pharma lobbyists now. That's what he does. So that's what, you know, y'all don't listen to Mike Pence. He's nobody. Why they keep bringing him up like he's somebody I'll never understand.
Well, you know how when you flip the lights on, the roaches go to running? Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's him. Yep. What do you think, guys?
Yep. What do you think?
Is this thing working?
Rise up.